When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. And yes, I'm still fighting this cold. My sinuses are all stuffed up to Hades, and it's very difficult to talk clearly. I will might wind up talking a little slower this time in order to enunciate properly, because it's just the worst when you can't breathe through your nose. Not being a mouth breather myself, or at least I try not to be a mouth breather. So what are we thinking about today? What's my essay about today? Well, you know, I should have done this earlier this month, but, better late than never. Let's talk a little bit about character design. There's been some requests from the Art and Storyers for us to talk a little bit about this again. And while I don't have, and this ties into the 30 characters in November challenge that's going on in the Art and Story Forum, right? And elsewhere, the 30characters.com. And so I thought I'd share a few thoughts I have on designing characters, some things I like to think about. This is by no means some kind of standardized list that if you just do these five things, you're going to have a great character every time. That's not at all the case. I should say as a caveat at the beginning, I often go through dozens and dozens of characters before I land on something that I really like. And this doesn't mean just on paper. Sometimes it's dozens and dozens of character designs in my head, ideas for characters, twists on an idea. And before I even have a chance to set pencil to paper, I'll say, no, that's no good. That's no good. And then something will ring true to me. Something will grab my attention and go ding, 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 ding. And then, yeah, that's when I start putting pencil down to paper. And then even then, you know, I'll go through a couple different iterations sometimes. Some of the characters I have that I'm going to use as examples today, I did just that with. And also this said, I deeply regret not being able to take part in the 30 character challenge just because I'll admit that there is a small part of me that feels a little bit of the macho kind of call to action to show everybody how it's done, you know, throw in my hat in the competition, play a quick scrimmage on the field with everybody. And that actually ties into where I'm going to start with this, is finding the unexpected in a character, some little thought exercises I like to go through in finding out things about your character that you don't expect, that an audience doesn't expect, because let's face it, discovering unexpected twists to a character is delightful. We love it as a reader to find out that something we take for granted about a character, something we assume about a character, when we find out that there's another aspect to it, another twist to it, or a contradiction in that character, makes characters interesting. And this goes whether you're doing serialized kids fiction like I like to do, or if you're doing, I assume, a full-on novel. So how do you find the unexpected in a character? Is it just as simple as saying, here's Gregory Peck's character in To Kill a Mockingbird, and he has an unhealthy fascination with Oreo cookies and has folders and folders and folders of scrapbooks with pictures of him sitting in bathtubs full of Oreo cookies. Yeah, that's unexpected, all right. But does it have anything to do with the story? Well, it depends on the story you're telling, I guess. In the case of To Kill a Mockingbird, no, has nothing to do with the story. And what's more is I don't even know if Oreo cookies were around at that time. But in any case, you can't just be arbitrary about it. There should be some kind of logic, although I'm going to later on talk a little bit about whimsy. So let's start from the outside, visuals. Now, I am not going to profess that these are, you know, again, this isn't any kind of like, I didn't get this out of a book. This isn't from some authoritative tome of visual design, but these are things I like to think about when designing my characters. And, you know, I've been paid to do it, so I must be kind of okay at it. One of the first places I like to look for defying expectations is shape, just general shape. I mean, when we think of characters, a lot of us, not all of us, but a lot of us like to start with people. That's all well and good. The next question is, how can you twist that person's shape to make them visually interesting and defy what we would expect? A great character design that I came across when I was a teenager was designed by either Rick Leonardi or Brett Blevins. Brett Blevins, I think, might have come up with this. I'm not sure. It was a Cloak and Dagger character from Marvel Comics named Mr. Jip. And he was like this demon character, this dark wizard. And he had this huge bloated torso, just all lumpy, and he was all white, and he had these just cancerous kind of growths coming out of everywhere, and little sprouts of hair everywhere. But his arms were really long and spindly, and his legs were very short and spindly, and then his head was all crouched down between his shoulders like Nosferatu or something. That image always just arrested me. I always thought it was a great character design because he looks so twisted and weird. But you can do this to other effect as well. You don't have to do it for horror. I mean, that was clearly the intent with Mr. Jip. I think it was spelled JYP, by the way, if you want to do a search on the internet later on. I did this with a character in the front called Opal, who in the original iteration of the series was the stereotypical big, strong rock guy. So much so that I remember back in the 90s when I used to go to conventions, the more cynical young people would come up to my table and say, well, that's just the Hulk. Because he was just a big stone guy in a suit. And he was like a crystalline stone guy, so he was very smooth. He didn't look like the Thing from Fantastic Four or anything. So when I came around to reinventing the front again, and I wanted to keep Opal as a character because his personality was, I thought, was really important to the overall narrative I wanted to tell. His role as a character was important. But how can I create a new look for him that doesn't scream big stone guy who's actually really smart? You know, like, and there's been Marvel Comics has countless examples, as does DC, or just big strong guy who's really smart, like, you know, Hank McCoy, the Beast in the X-Men. The Hulk in the 90s was kind of smart for a while. He had Bruce Banner's personality, or at least his intelligence, if I'm not mistaken. I wasn't a huge fan of the Hulk. So that irony or that unexpected twist, a big strong guy who's smart, has already been played out. How can I find a new unexpected twist to it? Well, at that time, I was and still am a big fan of Beast Wars. And in the later season of Beast Wars, for those who don't know, it was a Transformer series where the main characters all turned into animals. And the leader of the good guys called Optimus Primal, in a later season called Beast Machines, they gave him more of an exaggerated gorilla look where his forearms were just gigantic, these huge pillars that looked like they weighed more than the rest of his body. And it gave him a really neat look when he was like running at the camera and things. And so I thought, well, gee, what's to stop me from merging a big stone guy with a big gorilla guy? That's an interesting idea. And so I just made his forearms huge, and it gave him more of a freakish kind of look, which was used for effect when he makes his first appearance in Terrifies Thirsty. It also resulted in some cute throwaway gags, like when Nina says to Opal later on in the book, how do you put your shirts on? Because that is an interesting question. How does he put his shirts on? It's a little bit of a whimsical thing, which I'll get at later. But it also just created a neat dynamic look that again, defied your traditional expectations of the big stone guy. Also, another character that I created that I was pleased with in terms of defying expectations was in the PPV miniseries that I did for Antarctic Press. And in that series, I was challenged to create a bevy of superhero characters based on teenagers. And, you know, just randomly apply superpowers to different teenagers. And so I took that as a creative challenge to figure out what would you not expect from these body types. So I took, I based one character named Udo on a coworker I had a long time ago, who was sort of a stocky, short guy. I mean, he looked like he'd be the perfect guy to play a dwarf in the Lord of the Rings films. He was maybe like 5'1", and he was really thick and stocky and strong, but he was just really short. And I thought, well, what if I gave him super speed? And then the twist would be is that when he's running at super speed, he's more like the sort of like a mini version of the Juggernaut from the X-Men. He's just like this unstoppable little ball of mass. And when we think of super speed characters, again, here's our expectations. We think of traditionally long, elegant, graceful figures like the Flash or Quicksilver, lean runner type bodies. And so by making him a short little stocky guy who could run super fast, it created all sorts of new creative invention in the story, where whenever I would show Udo running, he's actually boring a path in the ground because he's so thick and stocky and weighted. So like there was this trail of destruction wherever he's running. So just asking yourself, what is the body type that I would least expect, and try to tie it in a creative way, in an interesting way, into your character. That's where I like to start. Let's also talk about gender. And this is a dicey area because gender is something that's one of those things like politics and religion that I guess we're just never supposed to talk about. But we can agree, I think, that there are some common misconceptions or preconceptions or assumptions about gender. When I say female hero, a lot of you, not all, but a lot of you are going to think of, you know, a Wonder Woman body type, a Lara Croft body type, mostly because American mainstream comics have conditioned us to think that way. We rarely think of, you know, slightly dumpy middle-aged woman. Also, we often don't think of female bodybuilders, you know? And so this makes me think of the character Sheila that Mark and I created for the Switchrunner series, where I remember that was one character where, for anybody who hasn't listened to, we did a commentary track for the Switchrunner series on Art and Story. Just do a search for the big commentary Switchrunners. In that series, Mark threw a whole bunch of just character designs at me, and I sort of inferred the personality and built the personality based on what I assumed about them from the drawings that Mark did. But in this case, Sheila, I remember saying to Mark, I wonder if you can design for me a female humanoid version of Jack Kirby's character, Devil Dinosaur. And then he did that. And that was all I gave him. I just a female Devil Dinosaur, but with like, you know, normal human body type. And he gave me this really thick, stocky woman, like it was just like a bodybuilder. But then he had this string of pearls around her neck and this giant mane of hair behind her head. And I don't remember if there was any explanation for that or not. But the next thing I thought was, oh, totally, Dinosaur Miss Piggy. She thinks she's very beautiful, but to our eyes as readers, we know that she's a monster. And maybe I can amplify this a little bit more by creating another level of irony by having her be a galactic lady wrestler. Okay, so galactic lady wrestler who thinks she's very beautiful. Those, again, not like a profound surprise, but it's a neat little twist that we haven't seen before, and it makes the character interesting both to read and to write. Clothing, costume. If clothes make the man, then how can you create a look that belies a different personality? Okay, so I got a couple examples from my own work as well as other people's works. Well, actually, I think these are all mine. I got on my list here. Orange Guy from the front, who was, I've reported elsewhere, he was designed visually to be, there was a guy in our town when Mark and I were growing up who everybody called Heavy Metal Boy. And all he did was wear heavy metal t-shirts all the time and walk in this really aggressive fashion up and down the street. So nobody knew where he was going. And he just had long hair, and he looked really mean and tough, and he always had a heavy metal t-shirt on. And I thought of him when I was designing Orange Guy, who was a new character for the front. I said, what would be like an image of a villain that he would create? You know, and I've had conversations with these guys in the past, like, you know, you get into a conversation with these types of guys where they say, I want you to design me a tattoo, and it'll be a Viking holding his head, he'll be looking down at the ground and holding a bloody battle axe and whatnot. So I designed Orange Guy specifically like as sort of a tongue-in-cheek, not quite parodical, but with a touch of parody in mind of what those guys would envision as a character. And indeed, he's supposed to be the big, growling monster character, but the twist that we don't expect is that he's, and this is where we get into internal personality things, which I'm going to cover in the next Thunder Punch Daily, I think, where we find out that he's got a sweet side, and he's best friends with Jared. And you wouldn't expect that from a guy with leather pants, horns, pointy teeth, and a grimace on his face all the time. Also, going back to PPV, the character of Nikki, who is one of my favorite characters, who I just designed to be. You have to remember, I did PPV in 2002. It was when I was living in Arizona. My wife was going to ASU, so I drop her off on campus all the time. And I remember there was a main drag I had to drive down in order to get to work from dropping my wife off at campus. And This main drag would constantly get clogged with just fleets of students walking across the street, and I just have to stop and wait for a gap in the pile of humanity that was pushing across there. And there were all these girls with like the little tiny Daisy Duke shorts and these giant platform sneakers and little tiny t-shirts that exposed the midriff. And they always have their, or a lot of times they have their hair pulled up in these little like Marianne kind of pigtails. And so I thought, okay, well, there's the image for a high school girl for this story, but what is the twist I could put on her? What would be the last thing I would expect in terms of what she could do and how she would behave? Well, okay, again, going back to like what I did with Udo, where, okay, little tiny guy, super speed, I'll give her exceedingly bad breath that's so bad that it's actually destructive, like it's shooting fire or concussive blasts out of your mouth. And there we go. It was a cute little twist on the idea of breathing fire kind of thing. And you wouldn't expect it from this dainty little girl who listens to Christina Aguilera or whoever was popular at that time. So there's a few of the things I like to look for in terms of defying expectations on the outside of the character, on the physical aspect, the drawing aspect. The next Thunder Punch, I'm going to go into some of the inside things, the personality twists I like to look for in a character that's fun. And I'll probably wind up jumping back and forth between inside and outside, just like I did today. But that's the thing about the arts, right? Is that there's no, it's so web-like and so interconnected, you can't pull it apart into like it's into the atomic level without losing part of the conversation. So who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for subscribing to this to this content. We really couldn't do it without you. It means the world to us that you guys continue to subscribe and support us in this. Thanks once, twice, and a million times. So I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, the Aquaticans were afraid to trust us because we looked different from them. Merman talked them into thinking we were their enemies, and it almost caused great harm. You should never judge a person by the way he looks, but rather by the way he behaves.
Because it's what's inside a person that really counts, right?
Porco, you're absolutely right.
I always am.